to the teaching ministry of Pastor Jay Eberle. Get ready to be empowered through the understanding of God's Word.
Brought your Bible, go to 2 Corinthians 5 tonight. If you were here Sunday, we talked about new things. And I personally enjoyed that. I've been chewing on a little bit more this week. So, but we want to go back to 2 Corinthians 5. This is where we started on Sunday, and I want to share something tonight. It's not exactly where we were going Sunday, but it's sort of the Lord gave me a way to springboard from Sunday into it. So we were here in this verse, 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a what? New creature or new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things are become what? All things are become new. New. Tell your neighbor you're a new creation in Christ if you know Jesus. Yeah, there's not just forgiveness of sins there. This is a brand new person on the inside. Not the outside, you know, but the inside, the spirit man. So we were looking at that on Sunday, talking about new things, God doing a new thing in your life. We were looking at different new things. God's into new heaven, new earth. You know, so many things he's going to do or already has done that are new. We talked about that on Sunday. Tonight, I want to talk about the opposite of it. I want to talk about old things. It's interesting how the Lord put that in my heart. So we have an old covenant, don't we? The New Testament, the New Covenant, has replaced the Old Covenant. The Bible talks about the old things here have passed away. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things are become new. So we have a new covenant, but we have a new man. The Bible says, put off the old man, which is corrupt according to deceitful lust, but put on the new man. So this new creation is a new man. Not the physical man, but the spirit man. He's a new man. Somebody said, well, I'm just the same old person I used to be. No, you're not. That person that you used to be died. Bible said, Paul said, I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. The new man is literally Christ formed in the believer. But the old man is the old sin nature. The old man. He said, put on the new man. So we have an old man that we are to put off. We have an old covenant that's passed away, replaced by the new. And up here he said, old things have passed away. 2 Corinthians, well, actually, let's go to, well, you can just listen. You don't have to turn there. 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 8. I just looked up some verses that talk about old. 1 Corinthians 5, 8. Says to the congregation there at Corinth, he said, purge out the old leaven. Amen. Leaven in the Bible is a type of sin. He said, purge out the old leaven. That's talking about in their congregation they had, if you look at the context, there was a man that was living in adultery and they weren't wanting to do anything about it. They were just keeping fellowship with him while he's openly living with somebody out of wedlock, you know. Enjoying the fellowship of the church. He said, purge out the old leaven. And if you look at the context, he's talking about get that sin out of your congregation. Now somebody said, well, I've sinned, so I can't come to church. Well, how many of you know there's a difference between sinning and repenting and sinning and just wanting to live that way and wanting everybody to endorse it and say, well, I can just, we're all under grace, you know, we can all live like we want. We've all sinned. Don't let the devil tell you, well, you're not perfect, so you can't come here. Well, then I got to leave too. All right. Anybody else going to have to leave? The ones that didn't raise your hand, please leave. I'm kidding. I'm not telling you to leave. I'm just simply saying you just missed it. You're not perfect. So, no, we've all, don't let the devil tell you you can't come to church here because you've sinned or your family has sinned.
Come on.
Your family's decisions was their decision.
That's exactly right. Yes, sir.
Amen. And you've shown that's not you. So come join and hold your head up high.
Amen.
So, but he said here, purge out the old leaven. This is just somebody that just wanted to live in sin, didn't want to repent, and they were defiling the congregation, so forth. But he said, purge out the old leaven. The old leaven, like I said, leaven in the Bible is a type of sin. Then we go to, I want you to go to this passage, 2 Peter, 1:9. We're going to springboard into what we're doing tonight from these verses. 2 Peter 1:9, when you come to Spirit of Faith, you bring your Bible. So get your Bible out. Let's look at these references. Let's read verse 9 of 2 Peter 1. It says, he that lacks these things, remember Pastor Nancy's preached on this quite a bit, temperance, patience, virtue, you know, and so forth. Add these things to your faith, brotherly kindness, all these things. She's preached it here. It's wonderful. She preached it in Russia too. He that lacks these things is blind and cannot see afar off and has forgotten that he was purged from his... Someone said, I've been sinning. That's your old. That's the old stuff. That's stuff from your former life. That's not you. He was purged from his old sins. Old sins. What are old sins? They're not something you're bound with now. It's a bondage you used to be bound with. The old man. Amen. Tell your neighbor, that's the old sins. Don't forget you've been purged from those old sins. How many of you are living free from things that you used to in days of old be afflicted by? Anybody? Yeah, that means all of us. So that's what he's talking about. Now, 2 Peter 2, you're in, that was 2 Peter 1. Let's go to 2 Peter 2. Let's look at verse number 20 because he brings up some things here again. He says, if after they have escaped the pollution of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, talking about people that come into the things of God, come in, they're saved and they come into the things of God, walk with God. If after they have escaped all the pollution of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled therein and overcome, the latter end is worse with them than the beginning. You realize things that you were delivered from, that you're in the old days you were bound with, old bondages, old habits, old sins, old afflictions, old torments, old, you know, vexation of mind, old sickly body, old just stuff you used to be bound by. You realize that he's saying here that just because you were delivered from that through being born again, number one. Number two, he mentions through the knowledge. Escape the pollution of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. You know, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free, Jesus said. Through the truth that you knew, that you found out, and you know that you have been set free from all those things that used to afflict you. Maybe you're not where you want to be, but you're not where you were. If you turn a back into old things and be entangled therein, it'll be worse than what it was. That's what he's talking about. The latter end is worse than at the beginning. You realize, let's just keep reading here. Verse 21, if it had been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than after they have known it to turn from their from the holy commandment delivered unto them. Look at verse number 22. But it has happened unto them, according to the true proverb, the dog is turned to his own vomit again, and the sow that was washed in her wallowing in the mire. Return back to the mud, in other words. You know, you wash a hog, and you that's just almost an exercise of futility because you put him back in the pen. He's just going to go right back to the mud. Now, you might say, why does he do that? Because that's his nature. And maybe we don't realize it, but hogs don't have sweat glands. They can't sweat out, you know, being overheated, so they got to roll in something cool. And so it's just their nature. They got to cool down. You know, you and I have sweat glands. And so it's a little different. It's supposed to be. But here he's talking about going back to old sins is like a hog. When you wash him off, he'll go right back to the mud. Or a dog. You ever seen a dog eat something that didn't set well with it and it spits it up? I'm not trying to be gross, but then they'll often go over there and they'll lick it up and eat it again. That's what he's talking about here. We're just a little countryfied around here, so we, you know. But Peter knew what he's talking about. Isn't that right? And so here's what he's saying is, listen very carefully. You got your ears on tonight. You have been purchased from your old sins. You've been delivered from old sins. But he's talking about in these verses, 2 Peter 2, 20 and 20 down through 22, he's talking about not going back to old sins, old habits, old bondages and old afflictions. You know, whatever it was, sin. Because just because you got saved and got delivered from it doesn't mean that you can, it's impossible for you to be bound by that again. I don't know if you've ever thought about that. Because all you've got to do is just stop pressing into the things of God. Just stop walking in the light you have. Just kind of get lazy spiritually. And just relax and not continue to seek after the plan of God for your life. And, you know, be around people that will encourage you in faith and so forth and so on. Just start doing some of that. And before you know it, you'll find something out. That what used to bind you is perched right outside the door of your life. And you've been being kept from it and almost unaware that it's even there. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Because we are kept people. Amen. We're kept by the power of God through faith. There's a lot of things that we're kept from. But it's perched right outside our life. You realize it wouldn't take much for any of us to be bound with some of the things we were delivered from. I know what I've been delivered from, and ooh, I don't want to go back there. I do not want to go back there. But I could. Any one of us could. Doesn't matter how long you walked with God. Doesn't matter how far you've gone in the things of God. Doesn't matter if you're in the ministry, called to the ministry, been in the ministry, maybe progressed through three phases and now you're all, everybody else is apostle. You know what I'm talking about? That's funny. That's supposed to be funny. You know what I'm talking about? Even the apostle Paul said he had to keep his body under. Lest he be a castaway.
Yes, sir.
Yep. So old things can get back in. Now, you're delivered from them.
Yes, sir.
You know what I'm talking about? That those old things, you've been delivered from them. And all the consequences. It might be old bondages, old fleshly addictions. You know, maybe drugs, cigarettes, or something like that. It could be maybe offense. I've been around the ministry long enough to know that some families just, they suckle their babies on offense. I mean, the whole family, they get offended just like that. Bam. Amen.
Yeah.
I watch them come and go in and out of the church sometimes. Yeah. Pastor Debbie and I just say, well, they've been in and out of the church for the last 17 years. This will be another short time, you know, because they'll be here a little while and get a little offended, you know.
That's true. Come on.
We've tried to help them for years.
Yeah.
You know what I'm talking about?
Sir.
Would still help them if they were open to it.
Yeah.
We're nice people.
Yeah, you are. That's true.
That's a good time to say amen.
Yeah.
But we just know that's just their family. That's just the way they are. Well, the word can wash that out of anybody if they'll walk in the light of the word, and it'd be like they're the only one in the family that's not still bound by that.
Yes, sir. Come on.
Yes, sir.
Amen. But what I'm saying is sometimes people were raised that way, and so it's going to take supernatural power to get them free from that. I'm going somewhere tonight. I haven't even got on page one here. But since it took supernatural power to get you free from that, whether it be old offenses, fleshly addictions, maybe you were always sickly, your family was always sickly, in and out of the hospital. You know, maybe it was mental illness that ran in your family. Maybe everybody in your family is on 17 medications for some sort of instability emotionally or something like that. You know, you got saved, started walking the light of the word, gone to a church that preaches the word, here or somewhere else, you know, because we're not the only ones that have the truth of God's word, but wherever, and you're delivered from all that, and you're the only one now that's not on all those 17 medications. We've got people sitting here looking at me tonight that are in that category. And they're a marvel to the rest of their family. Well, this is just in our genes. What happened to you? Well, I just found out I got new genes. My DNA is, here's my DNA. It's in the Bible. Ye are of God, little children. I went to look at my family tree, and I found my family tree springs right off of God.
That's exactly right. Come on.
Amen.
Come on.
My natural family tree just has fruits and nuts on it. That's all it's got. Thank God I don't have the, I got in a new family. But so anyway, I'm saying that all those things, you got saved and you started walking in the light of the word and you got delivered from all those things. You'll know the truth and the truth will make you free. You're the only one that's not bound by those things, maybe in your family or something. How many of you know that's the way it ought to be? People that walk with God, they ought to be the marvel in the family. It's like, but what he's telling us in these verses is that these things will try to get back in that you've been delivered from. I'm not trying to say that to make you afraid. I'm trying to make you sober. You know, you don't have to be afraid of this because you have the power over. You just have to keep walking in the light and stay with God, walking by faith. Amen. And what 2 Peter 2:22 is talking about, whenever he says they're talking about the vomit, he's saying a man can return again to these things and these things can get back into his life that were once spewed out. Remember, that dog took that food in, then he spewed it out. Well, he's saying don't go back and start licking that up again. God's power, the word of God, the truth of the word, washed you and cleansed you from all those bondages and afflictions and torments and all that stuff. Anybody want to just forget about the stuff? All that stuff. Maybe it was old relationships. God's word started delivering you from that. And all of a sudden, they didn't want to hang around you anymore. Here's a clue. Here's how a dog starts licking up the vomit again of those old relationships. You start going on Facebook 10 years later and looking for that old flame. Where is she now? I kind of curious where she is. You're licking the vomit.
Exactly right. You're licking the vomit.
Yeah, you're licking the vomit. Boy, does it stink. That hit some of you. Don't let those old things back in. So here in 2 Peter 2:22, he's saying these things can get back into your life if you allow them. Old things, old bondages, things you've been delivered from, they can get back in. People have the mistaken idea that they've been delivered, so it doesn't matter how they live. You know, they'll just forever be free from it. Well, legally, yes, but not experientially. Amen. If you turn away from walking in the light, you just let a little bit of offense back in. You just listen to that accusative voice. You just listen to that suggestion or that enticement to sin, or, you know, relax a little bit. Enjoy some fleshly thing. You just start listening to a little bit of that. And what that is, if you smell, it smells like vomit. Yeah, it's what it smells like. But he's saying you can't just live any old way and that not get back in. That's what he's telling us. You're not forever free experientially. Now, legally, you are. Jesus purchased your freedom. But if you turn away from walking in the light, these things are perched right outside the door of your life, and they're ready to come back in and hold you in bondage again. That's not to make you afraid, like I said. It's just to make you sober. People have the idea, they get a little bit of offense in. They say, well, I got the word in me now, and so I'm going to be okay, just getting a little offended here and so forth. What they don't realize, the devil deceives them, thinks that's all right. Just keep sniffing that cheese. Just keep sniffing that cheese. And they start nibbling on that cheese, and before they know it, the devil will give them time to deceive them. And then he'll go, that trap will come down, and their eyeballs will poke out. They wonder what happened. For those of you who don't know, I'm talking about mousetrap. Just to make you sober. The bondage you had was spiritual. The root of it was spiritual. And your deliverance came through the Spirit of God. The truth of God's word and the anointing on that word. And you won't stay free. Amen. By your own wit and grit without that same anointing that sets you free. It was something that only spiritual power could deliver you from. Therefore, only spiritual power can keep you free. You can't say, well, now I'm free. I can just do anything I want. Oh, no. before you know it, you'll be right back where you were, and you don't know how you got there. You're going to wake up one day and, how did I get here? How did I get here? Go to Matthew, well, I'll tell you what, just for time's sake, I'll just refer to it. You can write it down in your notes. Matthew 12, verse 43 through 45. Jesus said there, Matthew 12, 43 through 45, he said, when unclean spirits going out of a man, he walks through dry places seeking rest and finds none. He said, I know what I'll do. I'll go back to my house from whence I came out. And he goes back and he finds that he takes seven more spirits, more wicked than himself. He goes back, he said, he finds it empty, swept, and garnished. And the Bible said he moved in, and the last state of it was worse than the first. Because he took more spirits, seven more, that's wicked. Right. Yeah. So what I'm saying is that the devil's perched. He wants back in.
Yeah. Yeah.
Not to make you afraid.
No, sir. Come on.
Because
no,
that'll open the door to him. Yeah. Yeah. But just to be sober and not don't think you can just dabble in old things. Well, I'll just hang around my old friends a little bit, you know, kind of missing them, kind of wondering what they're doing and so forth. Watch it. Watch it. I smell vomit. Now go to Proverbs 4, and wow, now I'm on the first page. I'm on Proverbs 4 says, we're familiar with Proverbs 4, 20. Well, actually, we really start back there in verse, is it 18? Verse 19. Well, let's see here. Where am I? Yeah, verse 20. Verse 20 says, my son, attend to my word, incline thine ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thine heart, for they are life to those that find them, and health to all their flesh. Verse 23, guard. King James says, keep. The Amplified and the other translations say, guard your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Now, why does he say guard your heart? What he's telling us is, even though things have been spewed out through the new birth, number one, thank God for the new birth, and through the washing of the water of the word, washing our minds and getting old purposes and motives out and renewing so forth, these old things have been gotten out. He's saying you have to guard your heart. Why would you have to guard your heart if they couldn't get back in? Isn't that right? When things begin to get back in, well, let me say this. In more recent years, Pastor Davey and I have stopped saying what we used to say. I guess in some cases we still say it because people do understand what we're saying. But in more recent years, we're guarded in what we say. One of the things we don't say to everybody anymore is, just follow your heart. Because we tell people that when we first started out in the ministry, just follow your heart. And we sit and watch them follow their heart right into sin. Right into a relationship that destroyed them emotionally, that brought heartache. They had a child out of it, and it was a mess. It was, we didn't wish it on them or anything. We don't enjoy seeing it, but I'm just telling you what happened. And people, they follow their heart because we told them to follow their heart, and they go off. And we discussed it. We said, well, one of two things is true about them. Either they don't know the difference between their heart and their own affections or their emotions, or they did follow their heart. That's what was in their heart. Amen? Anybody know what I'm talking about? They just weren't guarded. So wrong things got into their heart, and they weren't following something that was of God, but it was in their heart. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? Someone said, well, I'm a new creation. How could it get in my heart? Well, when God made you a new creation, everything old passed away. You don't have the nature of sin, and so forth and so on. But how many of you know the parable of the sower is all about what you now plant in your heart and not letting certain things get back into your heart? Because he said the cares of this life, the deceitfulness of riches, and the lust of other things entering in choke the word and it becomes unfruitful. Well, I mean, you're saying guard my heart, Pastor. That's Old Testament. I'm born again. I have a new nature, the nature of God in me, and the Holy Spirit's in me to guide me, and he bears witness with my spirit. Yeah, and the Bible still says guard your heart. Amen? In other words, things can get into your soil of that new creation, and your spirit can begin to grow it. And it'll begin to move you and influence you and cause you to go wrong directions in life. Yeah, but that's Old Testament. Okay, let's go to the New Testament, 2 Corinthians 7. And let's just look at verse number 1. Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, he's talking to brethren, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. Well, you were originally cleansed from all filthiness of spirit. If a man be in Christ, he's a new creation. God created him, and he created it in his image and in his likeness, the Bible said. God is holy. God made you in righteousness and true holiness, Ephesians said. You were created, born again, holy, righteous. That was your nature. But that doesn't mean it stays that way, or let me put it this way. That doesn't mean something can't get in that's unholy. He said, here, make sure that your spirit doesn't get something in that's unholy. Go to Hebrews chapter 12. You don't hear much preaching like this anymore. Let's just make sure we're scriptural here. Got to rightly divide the word, don't we? Hebrews chapter 12 tells us in verse number. Now he's talking to Hebrews chapter 12. He's talking to children. Verse 5, you have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as children. My son, despise not thou the chastening. He's talking to children, spiritual children, God's children. And down in the verse number 9, I guess it is, he talks about the father of our spirits. We are the children of God. God's our spiritual father. He gave birth to our spirits. So that's who he's talking about. He talks about chastening, and that word means correcting. God's not doing that out of love, but he's doing it to keep us from all the enemy's things. Correction and so forth. Then he says this in verse number, we're in chapter 12, Hebrews chapter 12. Look at verse number 15. Looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. I think that's New Testament. Hebrews is in the New Testament. 1 Corinthians is in the chapter 7 is in the New Testament. And these are only a couple of verses. Amen. He's talking about Christians who have been washed in the blood and freed from all unrighteousness in the new birth. He's saying, make sure nothing gets back in that's not of God. Let me give you an illustration. Anybody ever seen anybody get offended? Well, I thought they were a Christian. Well, they were. They were purged from all that. They were clean from all that. All that was washed out. They were made a new creation. Hallelujah. All that was gone in their spiritual nature, but they let it get back in. They took a thought of offense, and Satan, boop, got a seed planted in there. And then he came and said it to them again, and that watered it. And then they started thinking about it, and that watered it, and that watered it. Now their new spirit is growing something that's not of God. And it'll spring up and get roots and take... to get roots down in them, and they get all offended and they get separated from the people of God. And amen. We all know it happens. It tries to happen to all of us. Don't look at me in that tone of voice. So he's talking to Christians, isn't he? Hallelujah. The Bible says guard your heart. Why? Because these things are out there. They're trying to get back in. Amen. That old vomit's right out there. Amen. It doesn't smell like vomit right away. Satan makes it smell tasty, you know. Oh, this is going to be good. But boy, it gets down inside. It goes, ruins your fellowship with God. I don't mean you're not saved. That's not what I'm talking about. Amen. Here he's talking to Hebrews 12:15. He's talking to children. Children. Warns us to be diligent, to guard against the root of bitterness. You know what a root is? It's something that got started as a seed. That's what the parable of the sower is all about. Amen. People get a little results out of the word because they get the word in there, but then other things get in there. That's what that parable is all about. Anybody listening to me? Listen very closely. Satan continually is trying to get something into you. That's not to make you afraid. It's just to make you sober. Don't be lazy. Amen. You got to gird up the loins of your mind, because an unguarded thought life is an unguarded heart. James 1:15 talks about every man is tempted. He's drawn away of his own lust and deceived. And then when lust is let me turn there. James 1. Let me make sure I'm saying this right. James 1, verse number 15. Then when lust hath conceived, it brings forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, brings forth death. Say that out loud. Lust, when it has been conceived. How does a woman conceive? Seed enters in. I'm not talking about it's always sin. It might be in the marriage. You know what I'm talking about. But he's using this illustration of how sin works. Lust, when it is conceived, brings forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, brings forth death. So how does a woman conceive? Seed enters in. Amen. How many of you know, being tempted, that woman, you know it goes both ways, but this is an illustration of conceiving seed, so we're using the woman. I'm not trying to be down on women. Yeah, you understand? Just using this illustration. We'll get on the men later. How's that? Yeah, we can take it. Praise the Lord. But the illustration here is conceiving, and how does a woman conceive? Well, seed enters in. Like I said, that might not be sin. It might be in the marriage, but he's just talking about the way a woman conceived. And so, but if it's using the illustration of sin getting in, he's talking about lust. Let's ask about how a woman conceives out of, you know, sin. Thank God there's mercy for that. Aren't you glad there's mercy and forgiveness and so forth? But we're just talking about it because we're using this illustration. God, Bible uses this still illustration. So her being tempted by a man does not equal seed entering in. You realize temptation comes to all of us in different areas. Maybe it's temptation to be offended or some other sin, any kind of sin, including sexual sin, but the temptation does not equal it entering in. Makes sense. Y'all thinking with me tonight? It doesn't equal seed entering in. Isn't that what biology tells us? No woman wonders how she conceived. You know, it must have been that man I went out to eat with last night. You know, he was sitting across the table, and he was kind of close. Maybe that's how I conceived, you know. She doesn't wonder. Amen. He was sitting across the dinner table. That wasn't too far away. Maybe that's how I conceived. No, she was there. She was involved with the process. She participated in it, and she's partly responsible for it. Well, then don't think something got into your heart without your cooperation in the process. Well, I wonder how I got offended. You must have cooperated with it. Keep looking straight ahead. You must have cooperated with the process. Amen. In other words, you guard your heart. In other words, he's saying that's your responsibility. It's not let these seeds of the enemy get in other words. Because they come to all of us. That doesn't equal something getting in. When it comes, that doesn't mean it got in. It's what you do with it when it comes that determines whether it gets in or not. You know, if some man's trying to come on to a woman, she can say to him, "Not here, buddy. I'll get out my taser. You stay away from me, you know." And I'm perfectly fine with that. Well, I'll say, praise the Lord. Way to go, lady. Way to go, sister. Way to go. Amen. The other day, Pastor Debbie said, she was reading something on the news. She said, look at this. And some woman was being attacked by a man. She shot him dead. And Pastor Debbie said, good for her. I said, good for her. You know, they tried to steal her child, and then... She, that was okay. So it wasn't good for her. I think the police ought to say thank you. Bye-bye.
Exactly. Take that one out. Exactly.
Probably did. I guess there's some legalities you got to watch out for, but, you know, I'm not trying to just say go shoot everybody. Listen, but if it's your child or if it's rape or something like that, chop!
Exactly. Gone. Yes, sir.
And that's love. Amen. All right, anyway. You go, girl. You go. But anyway, the there's no woman wonders how it happened. And what he's saying is it's our responsibility not to let these things in. We shouldn't wonder. I wonder how that happened. Well, we've been letting something in. We've been letting thoughts in. What's our thinking been on? If it's a woman that fell into sin, maybe it's just she's been thinking about how lonely she is. She wants some companionship or something. See, these little seeds, these little things.
Seriously.
Got to guard yourself. Know his strategies. Know his devices. Well, praise the Lord. Page 2. It happens. It does not happen. Let's put it that way. It does not happen without your cooperation in the process. Well, a thought of temptation might come, or a suggestion of the enemy might come to you, but that doesn't equal it entering in. He said, lust, when it is conceived, brings forth sin. Just lust coming doesn't mean it was conceived. What you do with it determines if it... Some man comes at a woman doesn't mean she conceived. She can say, not here, and if he keeps coming, she can pull a something out, you know. An enforcer. Amen. If you're afraid to do that, call us real quick. We'll come over. How many of you know it's what you do whenever lust or temptation comes that determines what gets in? Now go to Acts 7, verse number 9. Acts 7, verse number 9. I really intended to get further along than tonight, but maybe we'll just pick it up on Sunday. We'll see. I think it's new member class. Maybe we won't, but we'll see. Keep the church clean. Amen. But Acts 7, look at verse number 9. This is a very interesting verse. Acts 7, verse number 9 talks about, you remember whenever Joseph's brothers were jealous of him because he had the dream about them bowing down to him. They're like, all right, you're the runt in the family. I mean, you know. But anyway, so they got offended at him. And remember, they sold him. They were going to kill him, but then, we better not do that. They sold him into slavery. And the Bible here talks about that. This is Acts 7, verse number 9. It says, the patriarchs, that's those brothers, moved with envy, sold Joseph into Egypt, but God was with him. Now, moved with envy is what I wanted you to see. And what I wanted you to see is they let that envy get in, and when it got in, it began to move them. When you let things in, they begin to move you. Did you see that? Moved with envy. These things, such as offense, unforgiveness, could be fear, hurt, amen, they get thrown at you in order to move you. Remember Psalm 112, 6 through 8. It talks about, he shall not be moved. His heart is fixed, trusting in the Lord. His heart is established. He'll not be moved by fear, by evil tidings, it says.
Yes,
his heart is fixed, trusting in the Lord. Well, a heart that is fixed is a heart that is established on the Word and is decided, no, I'm not giving in to that. Whether it be fear, whether it be offense, whether it be, you know, something else. You're not going to be moved out of your place of blessings. Satan wants to sift us like wheat, the Bible says, from the place of in the body of Christ that God put us. You and I's job to be refused to be moved. That's our job. Amen. In that respect, be as stubborn as an old Missouri mule. Just ain't moving. Of course, Iowans aren't stubborn. We'll just pick on the Missourians, you know. Just won't be moved. You ever seen a mule that decides, you ever seen the old movies? Some old miner, he has a mule, you know, he's trying to get up in the mountain and the mule don't want to go. He's pulling the mule, mules, you know, going like this. That's the way you need to be. The devil's trying to move you. You just, ain't moving from my church. Ain't moving from my marriage. Ain't moving from the place God put me. You can stretch my neck, pull my nose, do whatever you want to do. I'm staying right here. That's how you need to be. Paul said offense, this is in Acts 23, I believe. I didn't write the reference down. But he said, herein do I exercise myself to have always a conscience void of offense. Before God and before men. If he's a new creation, then how? Why would he have to exercise? Exercise is work. It's work. Why would he have to exercise to not let offense in? Because it was trying to get in. Well, he's a holy apostle of God. He's a new creation. Old things have passed away. Yeah, they sure have, but they want to get back in. I have to work at this. Exercise myself to not have a conscience. The conscience is the voice of the human spirit. No, not have a conscience that has offense in it. Not have not let offense get inside of me. Anybody ever had it work on you? Some of you got it working on you right now. It's going to take some work.
Exactly.
This isn't for the spiritual lazy.
That's right.
If you're going to be lazy and just let thoughts of offense, well, you know, how they treated me or how they didn't treat me or what they said or what they didn't say or they forgot my birthday or they forgot. When those little voices start working on you, you're going to have to get up off of the spiritual couch and say, no, I know what you're trying to do. Something's trying to get into me. And I'm going to do the spiritual work necessary to not start licking vomit.
Thank you.
Because that's what we're doing. That's coming. Listen, just because it comes doesn't mean you're licking the vomit. But if you're not careful, you'll sit there and you'll start thinking it. The thought comes and then you pick it up and roll it over in your mind. All of a sudden, you just turn it up. You're licking the vomit. And it's getting back in.
Exactly.
Yep.
So good.
Old things. It's the door to old bondages. It's the door to old oppression. It's the door to old mental attacks and, you know, being back on medications. And it's the door to old things.
Come on.
And I, for one, am not going there. Let other people walk in that if they want to. I don't want them to. But if they choose that, I can't make their choices for them. But I'm going to stay in the blessings of God. Like Paul, exercise yourself. Exercise means work. That means part of that work is to cast down every thought. Cast down the offense when it comes. Push it away. Matt Slaymaker has bigger muscles than mine. I have muscles, but he has bigger muscles than mine. Because he keeps taking, he takes big tires and weights and stuff, and he pushes it away from himself.
Yeah.
I just hold my iPad up and read it. I don't. That's why his muscles are bigger than mine. But your spiritual muscles, your faith muscles, whenever offense comes, they develop by pushing it away, pushing it away, pushing it away. Tell your neighbor, push it away from you when it comes. And listen, do it over and over again and over again. He doesn't have the muscles he's developed because back in 1983, he took a barbell one time and went poop and a pop. Now they've been out popped ever since. He does it over and over and over again. And that's how you get strong. Push it away. Push it away. Push it away. Whenever you smell vomit, go, no, push it away. Push it away. Exercise yourself. Amen. It develops your faith muscles. You never walk free from things getting in you if you're spiritually lazy. The flesh wants to be offended and it'll gang up on you, but you be a bigger man and you rule over it. Amen. People sometimes see the results of something getting into somebody's heart And that they see the in other words, they see them being moved. But that wasn't when it started. It was whenever they started letting something in. It was whenever they got a new gatekeeper. Honor used to be their gatekeeper for their boss or their pastor or for their wife or whoever. But now that new gatekeeper is a fence, and that gatekeeper lets only criticism in, only believing the worst in, and it keeps rehearsing what they did. And when the blessings of God try to come, nope, the fence won't let that in.
Come on.
Amen. We need this tonight. I need it tonight. Refuse to let it in.
Amen.
Whenever the unguarded heart part was way before you see the person be moved. When seed gets planted, you go out in the farmer's field, he plants corn. Maybe you live by a cornfield or something, and you see him out there one day planting corn. You don't go out there by sundown and go, well, I thought he planted corn. What happened? I don't. It doesn't come up that quick. But it got planted. That's the way these things are. You don't see things. You don't see the results of the seed getting planted right away, but it'll eventually show up. Especially if the devil just got something into a degree and he keeps coming back and watering it. The devil is willing to work on you for decades. Just water it, water it, water it, water it. Till finally you take it wholehearted and it gets all the way in and it gets in you in abundance. Remember, fear did not bind Job until the thing he greatly feared. That fear grew until it was great, and then it started producing.
That's right.
Then everybody else could see the results of it. But it got in a long time before that. I've seen that happen to ministers. I'll never forget one time, Brother Hagin was doing a camp meeting, and one of the main ministers that he was using a lot during that time, Brother Hagin got down off the platform and started, go ahead, yield to the Holy Ghost. He sat there like a bowed up, proud. And I noticed over the years, Brother Hagin said that a couple years to him. And I thought to myself, because later he got off in doctrine, off in sin, different things. And people thought, well, what happened to him? I know what happened to him way back there. That little seed. Well, you know, I'm big shot now. I'm too proud to dance in the Holy Ghost. Well, you're going down and something got in. Licking the vomit. Well, anyway, I better behave. Amen. Satan's willing to work on you for decades. Don't give him place. Whenever he's working on you, you need to know it and pay attention to it. Don't nurse it. Don't give it place. Don't feed it. Don't rehearse the thoughts that he's bringing to you that keep coming to your mind. Cast down those imaginations. If it's a fence, cast it down. Answer it. Don't play with these things. The devil's deceptive. He's crafty. Cast it down. Everything that exalts itself against the knowledge of God's plan for your life. Before any thought, feeling, impression, suggestion, imagination is entertained in your thought life, you need to know where it came from. Ask yourself, what's the source of this thought? In other words, it's not mind food for me. It's not thought food for me. If you don't practice this, you have an unguarded heart. Because an unguarded mind is an unguarded heart. Amen. And that's why people are moved from kicked from pillar to post is because, you know, spiritually I'm talking about, so to speak, because Satan has access to them because their heart's not guarded. Ephesians 4:14-15 says, my little children, don't be tossed to and fro and carried about, but grow up. Amen. Let's take fence for an example. We're about going to wrap up here. People say they're not offended, but we can see the fruit in their lives that they are. I'm not just saying any old person, but I'm saying people that have these fruit in their life, they're offended. You can look at people's lives and tell if they're offended. Well, you're not supposed to judge me. You don't know my heart. No, but Jesus said I can judge a tree by its fruit. We are fruit judgers. Well, we're not supposed to judge. You need to read your Bible just a little deeper than that. There are things we're supposed to judge doctrine. We're not judging the person, but we can judge the fruit. People are so shallow. All right. But here's some of the things, you know, you can tell if this is going on that things have got in. Here's how you can tell if offense got in. Offense always leads to separation. Everybody still happy? It always leads to separation, either from God's word, from the help God brought into your life spiritually, the anointing, separation from God's people, separation from relationships God sent to bless you. We're all members of the body of Christ, aren't we? And God's joined us together for our mutual blessing and benefit. Satan is working to break up what God is bringing together. Amen. The voice of offense is going to lead you down a path that ends in one thing, and that's separation from those God's connected you with. Offense destroys unity and joyous fellowship that you once had with others. Well, I'm not offended. Well, why don't you have fellowship with him anymore? Why do you avoid him in church? Well, I've been wondering why I've not been in the blessings of God. Well, ringy-dingy. Shuts down your faith. Amen. It destroys, let me say it again, it destroys the unity and the joyous fellowship with others that you once had. If you've lost that, now you realize there's two sides to this. Maybe somebody else doesn't want to be in fellowship with you, but as far as you're concerned, you live peaceably with all men. You understand? There's two sides to it, but I'm just talking about this one side tonight. If you've lost that with this body or anyone in this body, you are offended. A seed has gotten in, and you would do well not to deny it. Well, I'm not offended. Well, that's the beginning of deception. The key to being free from offense is, first of all, to push the things that come to you away, being free from it. The key to that is to push it away and answer it with the word. But secondly, be brutally honest with yourself. Be brutally honest with yourself. If it's ugly, it's you. I mean, if you look in the mirror and it's ugly, but it's you. I'm not talking about physically. I'm not talking about physically. I'm talking about these things that get into your spirit. If you look in the mirror, honestly, and you look in there, and, oh, there's offense. Don't deny it. Be brutally honest with yourself. Amen. We're not pointing anybody out. I'm not thinking of anybody in particular. I'm just simply saying between you and God, deal with it. Amen. Hallelujah. Here's another thing. Offense is very deceptive. It pollutes a person's thinking. They can easily be deceived and will believe things that are wrong. They don't think right. Amen. Before you jump into these kinds of things, why don't you examine the life of others that have gotten into it and say, is that what I want? The loss of fellowship, the loss of blessings, the bondages again to sin, they're back on all their old medications and all the things that they used to be in and got free from, now they're back in. Is that, before I jump into this cesspool, start jumping back into this pool. You know what I'm talking about? Yes, ask myself, is this what I want? Is this what I want? Amen. Well, is that all right tonight?
Yes.
Another result of getting offended is that you get ill spiritually. It talks about in Psalm 106, 32 through 33. It talks about Moses getting ill. It wasn't physically ill. It talks about him getting mad and hot and offended at the children of Israel. Remember that? And getting ill spiritually is a lot like getting ill physically. When a person is ill physically, they're not taking in food usually. They're not hungry. Their appetite's gone. You know what it's like to be just not feeling well. And you don't have an appetite. And that's the way it is spiritually. What you should be soaking in from God, you're not. Actually, a person gets ill, they start running at both ends. I mean, and that's the way people that get offended are. They're running at their mouth, talking critically. Well, I'm not offended or anything. No. I guess the fruit of that, I guess this is just false evidence here. Here's something I'm going to close with. Tell your neighbor he's closing because he's on the next to the last of the third last page. Understand this. Don't ever forget it. God never, say never. Ever, ever, say ever, ever, leads you by offense. Say ever.
Ever.
Did you hear me? Ever. Ever, 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 leads you by offense. That's one of the evidences, again, of offense, is that people start making decisions that before they never would have made. Now they're being led by something that is out of their character. You realize? And they say, well, God's just leading me on. I've met that most of them are convinced they're being led by the Holy Spirit. Absolutely convinced. You can't talk most of them out of it. I've pretty much stopped trying. I might say a little bit about something, but you realize it's deception. They convinced they're being led by the Holy Spirit. I tell them, I said, well, why don't you get over the offense first before you make any decision? And then see what the Spirit of God is telling you to do. Once they truly get the offense out, it's amazing. They don't want to leave. They love everybody again. Everybody's sweet. You know what I'm talking about? Everybody's wonderful again. Oh, I just love this church. Praise the Lord. This church is so wonderful. I just love everybody in this church. Well, something changed. Well, I guess we all changed. That was quick. How did we all change that quick? It wasn't us. It was them. Can you see how deceptive that is? You didn't know this was going to come out tonight, did you? Hallelujah. Hebrews 4:12 says it's only the word that can help you divide between the voice of your emotions and the voice of your spirit. A lot of people don't know the difference between their emotions and their spirit. Amen. How am I going to get out of this? Pastor, if I find myself in this tonight, right where I am tonight, how am I going to get out of it? Only one way. You want to hear that way? You're going to grow out of it.
Amen.
I can't lay hands on you. I can't pray and be you get delivered from it. Nice guy, I would if I could, but it just doesn't work. You understand what we're talking about? You're going to have to grow out of it. Somebody can't cast something out of it. Well, let's cast this old spirit of offense out of me. It doesn't work. Doesn't work. Even if it did work, it'd come back. And if you entertained it, it'd get right back in. That makes sense. So you're going to have to grow spiritually, because the more you grow spiritually, the more you're aware of what is influencing you. Amen. I'm telling you, people get sometimes they fall into these things. They're not even aware they should be, because their spirit's alive to God. Of course, something gets in to block that. You understand? But anyway, they should be aware. But they find themselves in a place of, how did I get here? And they were, in other words, they were being moved by something they weren't even aware they were being moved by. That's an immature spirit that's not dominating that person. Something else is dominating them. We're not supposed to have anything. I'm going to finish tonight, all right? We're not supposed to let anything be dominating us other than the Spirit of God. There's an old song, "To you alone may my spirit yield, to you alone." I can't remember the rest of it. You don't remember that? Only you, Lord. I'm yielding only to the Holy Spirit, not to any other spirit, not any other voice, not the voice of my flesh, not the voice of my mind, my intellect, my emotions. I'm so mad right now. They made me so mad. No, they didn't make you mad. You got mad. You took the mad. You took it. Amen. Tell your neighbor it's all tight, but it's right. It's a maturing process. That the more you grow, the more you're aware of what influences you've been yielding to. And you can come in, and you can come into a place you're like, you can sit in a service like tonight, and you look at that, I have been for my whole life falling for offense or falling for something. This voice talks to me all the time, and I just take it. And I wasn't even there where I was aware under the influence of it. Well, that's growth. That's the first step to being free from it, is being aware of it. 1 John 3:12 in the Amplified talks about Cain killed Abel. He says he was of that wicked one. The Amplified says he was motivated by the wicked. He got his motivation, it says, from the wicked one. He was being motivated by something. Is it possible we can be, I'm saved, praise God. I wouldn't be motivated by anything but the love of God and the Spirit of God. Even Peter, right in the presence of Jesus, yielded to a wrong spirit one time.
Yeah, he did.
He rebuked Jesus. Jesus said, get behind me. He's right in the presence of Jesus, and he yielded to a wrong spirit. We've all done that. But we're all doing it less and less and less. We've all listened to our flesh. We've all spoken for the devil. We've all listened to our emotions. We've all gotten mad at somebody for something. And we listen to another voice. Well, praise the Lord. Amen. There are many voices in the spirit realm. And we're not to yield to all those things. I remember the last job I had when I was before we went into full-time ministry, the last job I had, the grace started lifting off of me to be at that job, and more I was getting promptings to go into the full-time ministry. But you don't just make a decision just on a day. You got to develop your faith and take steps.
Yeah. Yeah.
Ringy-dingy, hello.
Yeah.
And so that's in the process I was, and I was endeavoring to take those steps and so forth, and eventually the Lord just said, quit your job. But before I had that release to quit my job, it was hard. I'd come to the parking lot of that place of employment, and it was the hardest thing in the world at 7:30 in the morning to get that door open in my car, put my foot on the parking lot, walk into that building again. I got other things in my heart. You know what I'm talking about? And I remember one morning I sat there for a few minutes, and I really was thinking about turning around and going home, scheduled to work. And I'm really considering it, just turn around and going home. Where did he go? I quit. But the Spirit of God rose up in me, and he said, you ever quit a job I didn't tell you to? He said, you're out of my will. I went, ouch. I said, Lord, it's just the grace is lifting off of me. He said, until I release you in your spirit, you're not released from this job. He said, you stand. And I don't remember how much longer it was I had to stand. And finally, and I told you about it at Winter Bible Seminar one year, the Lord spoke to me. He said, quit your job. Then I had the release from the spirit. I was going to, a few months earlier, whatever it was, I was going to get relief in my flesh. But God said, most people don't know the difference between relief in their flesh and a release in their spirits. Your flesh might not like where God has you right now. But unless you wait till the Spirit of God releases you.
Come on, sir.
Am I preaching all right?
Yes, sir.
Trying to quit. You see, I've been out of town for a while. And so I loaded both barrels and I got a few barrels back here, Hallelujah. That's not just for me. Well, the Lord spoke that to you. That's for you too. As many as are led by the Spirit of God, they're the children of God. All God's children have to get the leading of the Spirit before they do something. Else you're out of His will. And until you learn that, you're going to be an immature Christian, just move, kick from pillar to post, and the devil's going to have a heyday in your life. You're going to start licking vomit. Amen. A lot of these people don't know they're being moved by their emotions and their flesh and so forth and so on. Amen. And the devil, of course, he'll raise up things to get you offended and stuff. Which voice are you going to listen to? Well, praise the Lord. That's just what the Lord said to me this afternoon. So, did you get anything out of that? I'm not going back to vomit. I don't know about you. I've had some junk in my life. You've probably had junk in your life. I don't care who's had more or what. Doesn't matter to me. But the point is, we don't want any of it. Out. Whatever was spewed out stays out. You know, the longer it stays out, the more it stinks. And the worse it gets when you lick it. So, praise the Lord. Some of you aren't going to forget tonight. You're not going to forget tonight. Stand up with me. Hallelujah. I clean up all right, but I'm a country boy at heart, Nobody wonders, I wonder what he's trying to say tonight. It's all clear. Anybody have any questions? We pretty much got it, right?
If you would like more information about Pastor Jay Everly's ministry, please visit us on the web at soffc.org or call us at 319-366-2147, or you can write to us at Spirit of Faith Family Church, Post Office Box 8355, Cedar Rapids, Iowa, 52408. And remember, God loves you, and you're equipped to live victoriously in every area of life.